Mercy and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's Word this evening is the lesson from the book of Hosea I read for you just a moment ago, and also our collect of the week. And dear brothers and sisters in the faith, we have a little white dog. Little white dog, he is 16 years old now. He can't barely see. He can't barely hear. Mostly he finds his way around things by sniffing. And he's always been a friendly, good-natured little thing. He's always been about 7 or 8 pounds, so he's just about the size of a human newborn. And you just want to hold him and pet him and give him lots of loving attention and let him sleep on your lap. But then again, you don't want to. You don't want to because when you do all of those things for him, no sooner do you do all of that than he starts misbehaving. He starts misbehaving. He doesn't listen. He becomes resistant to do what he's told. He slows down when you give him a command. He looks at you like, "Are you talking to me?" And he altogether takes advantage of the situation. What do you do? Well, there's nothing you really can do for it except raise your voice and let him know very clearly that he's in trouble. And you put the fear of God into him. And all of a sudden, he's good. For a while. For a while. Tonight's lesson, the Lord says, "What shall I do with you, O Ephraim?" That's his northern people. "What shall I do with you, O Judah?" That's the southern people of God. "Your love is like a morning cloud, like the dew that goes away early." From the days of Abraham, the history of God's people has been one long, gracious and kind and loving leading of the Lord. In the Bible, you read about how God held his people in his arms, how they were the object of his loving care and attention, how he saved them from their enemies, how he fed them with manna, how he crowned them with good, how he caused them to rest under the shadow of his wings. And not only that, that's not just Bible history. That's the history of any Christian person. It's true for you and me as well, too. It's something that we confess in our little catechism that our young people learn from for confirmation class. Some of you may remember the parts of it, but we confess something. We say, "I believe that God the Father has made me and all creatures. And I believe that he's given me my body and soul, my eyes, my ears, all my limbs, my reason, and all my senses, and he still preserves them. In addition thereto," like that old language, "in addition thereto, he gives me clothing and shoes, meat and drink, house and homestead, wife and children, fields, cattle, all my goods. He provides me richly and daily with all that I need to support this body and life. He protects me from all danger. He guards me and preserves me from all evil. And he does all of this out of pure, fatherly, divine goodness and mercy without any merit or worthiness in me." An amazing list there. But that's not the end of the list. That's God the Father. If you turn over the page and talk about God the Son, it says this: "I believe that Jesus Christ, true God, begotten of the Father from eternity and also true man, is my Lord. He has redeemed me, a lost and condemned creature. He purchased and won me from all sins, from death, and from the power of the devil, not with gold or silver, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death, in order that I may be his own and live under him in his kingdom." Amazing. But that's not all. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ my Lord or come to him, but the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith, and at the last day he will raise me up and all the dead and will give to me and all believers in Christ everlasting life. This is most certainly true. What you have listed there is what the Lord's ancient people would have called chesed. Chesed, which you really can't translate into just one English word. There's not a word or a verbal equivalency. Probably the best way to translate it would be loving kindness. Somebody once said that it's an unselfish love that longs only to do good, to help another person, friend or foe, worthy or unworthy. And when you look at God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, what you see is an unending story, an unending tale, an unending account of chesed, of God's loving kindness toward his people. Now, with all that in mind, we come back to tonight's lesson. What shall I do with you, Ephraim? What shall I do with you, Judah? Your love, your chesed, that's the word, isn't chesed at all. It's like the morning cloud. It's like the dew that goes away early. It quickly evaporates. And what you've got there is words that you recognize. You recognize the words of a parent about their child. And the father, in this instance, our Heavenly Father, he says, you know, what do I do with my kids? They got raised the right way. They got blessed the right way. They were given all good gifts. And yet what happened? Something strange turned out. Something odd ended up, something wrong. You know, it looks like the more I show you chesed, loving kindness, the more you don't listen. The more you resist what you're being told, the more you drag your feet, the more you give me that look in your eyes and you say, "Well, you're talking to me," the more you take advantage of the situation. Well, hold on for a second. It almost sounds like we're comparing us with dogs. And you might say that, "Pastor, why would you do that, compare us with dogs?" And I would say, "You know, I'm not comparing you with dogs. I don't think we reach the level of dogs. Let's be honest. No dog is described in this way. Surely I was sinful at birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me." And not only that, I'm mindful of Mark Twain's saying, where he said that it's a good thing that salvation is not by merit, otherwise your dog would go to heaven instead of you. It's a good thing. It's a good thing it's not by merit. But what does God do? He sent his son to be our Savior. He washed us clean and he shed blood. And the Lord continues to call out to us. It says he sends his prophets, various ones throughout the centuries and throughout the years. And over again, the Lord has to raise his voice. And he says over and over again, look, we can do this the easy way or we can do this the hard way. What's it going to be? And you know what's dumb? It always ends up being what? It always ends up being the hard way. Doesn't matter who you are, where you think you came from. It always ends up being the hard way. That seems to be the only way that we learn. It has to be the hard way. Well, our forefathers in the faith were fond of saying, and this goes way back to the Middle Ages, they were fond of saying, oratio, meditatio, tentatio, theologum faciunt. And what that means is prayer, And meditation on God's word and affliction, or maybe we would say God raising his voice, all of these work together to make for a sound faith, a solid faith. And so tonight's lesson, therefore the Lord says, I have hewn them, hewn like with an axe, chopping away. I have hewn them by my prophets. I have slain them by the words of my mouth, and my judgment goes forth as the light. I had to raise my voice over and over and over again. But what am I aiming at here? What does a good parent aim at? You're aiming at the benefit of your children, the blessing to come to your children. What's he aiming at? He says, I'll tell you, I desire love and kindness, not sacrifice. I'm not looking for you to line up a whole bunch of good deeds and say, look what I did. He says, I'm looking for loving kindness, a different kind of heart. I'm looking for the knowledge of God rather than burnt offerings. Because there is nothing that clears away the external things of our Christian faith. And there's a lot of them, and they're not wrong necessarily, but they are kind of there. Things that are merely custom or heritage or tinsel or colored lights or wrapping paper all over the floor. There's nothing that clears those away so that you can finally see the gifts of God as the good Lord going after you and raising his voice when it's needed. Letting you see what you really are. Letting you see what you really are so that all you can do is cry out, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And when a person starts talking that way, then other things start to happen too. And you start to see all the good gifts of God. Then it is you really start reading your Bible instead of doing devotions. Then it is that you start saying your prayers. Then it is that you really begin to hunger for the body and blood of your Lord Jesus in the sacrament of Holy Communion. And then it is you start to realize that just because something is hard doesn't mean that it's bad. And just because the Lord is raising his voice doesn't mean he doesn't love you. Actually, it means just the opposite. He raises his voice because he does love you. He's looking for a faith that maybe doesn't evaporate quite so quickly. He's looking for a faith that runs quickly to the cross of Jesus. He's looking for a faith that is quick to call upon him in prayer and to say, merciful God, you sent your messengers, the prophets, to preach repentance and to prepare the way for our salvation. Give us grace to heed their warnings and to forsake our sins, that we may greet with joy the coming of our Savior Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may it keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.